This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. North Carolina claims credit as the state that was first in flight, but now Illinois can claim credit as the state that's smallest in flight. That's because engineers at Northwestern University have invented a winged microchip, microflyers as they're being called, the smallest ever man-made flying structure. About the size of a grain of sand, researchers believe these microflyers could someday have important practical applications like monitoring airborne diseases and measuring air pollution and contaminants. Joining us now to talk more about this is John Rogers, the principal developer of the project and a professor of materials science and engineering at Northwestern University. John, welcome to the 21st.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So I understand this was created by studying maple trees and wind dispersed seeds. I think these are the things that we called whirlybirds when we were kids, when I was a kid anyway. Can you talk about how nature informed the engineering here?
Yeah, that was certainly part of it. Someone who runs a research group, we've been interested, over the years, in miniaturized wireless sensors that can integrate with the human body, either on the surface of the skin or as advanced implants to monitor brain activity, cardiac activity, things of that sort. And I think we've long appreciated the opportunities that might follow from adapting those kinds of devices for purposes in environmental or atmospheric monitoring. The challenge there, though, is not only in the components and in the sensors themselves, but in schemes for distributing them over large areas, a kind of challenge that's not really predominant when you're thinking about body integrated devices. And so that led us to think about maybe different sort of aerial dispersal approaches. And we initially, contemplated, building active flying structures that could zip around like a mosquito or a housefly or something like that. But if you think about the engineering challenges of that sort of scheme, fairly daunting, and you'd have to wonder about the cost structure and whether such approach would be really practical. And so that led us to think about other kinds of, dispersal schemes that you see in biology, and particularly those associated with plants and trees. And that kind of got us started down the path that you just described, thinking about seeds of various sorts. There's all kinds of different schemes that evolution has created over time for dispersing genetic material seeds, and we found that was an attractive approach for us, and we started working in a pretty focused way along those lines.
So let's talk then about the mechanics of flight for these microflyers, right? Is there propulsion? Are they gliding? How does this actually work?
It's purely passive, and I think that's one of the attractive features, actually, is what can you do without powered flight? How can you develop winged structures, other sorts of, constructs that can engage with passive, airflow patterns, wind, for example, to facilitate, maximum dispersal distance. That's the name of the game for plants. And so there are different classes of flyer type structures that occur in the plant world. You mentioned the sort of maple seed type of design. There are a number of plants that use this kind of helicopter type action that follows from an appropriate aerodynamic design of the structure of the seed. But that's just one example. There are others as well. Gliders, you find in certain species of trees. Others that use sort of a parachuting type of mechanism. So cottonwood seeds or dandelion seeds adopt that sort of strategy. Others kind of involve almost like a random fluttering type of motion. We decided to focus on this initial paper on the helicopter type structures, because they allow a very high level of controlled engineering stability in their patterns of falling, an elevation. And they also allow for very low terminal velocities. And so if you're thinking about atmospheric monitoring, you'd like to maximize the time of engagement that the sensor can interact with the atmosphere. And so you want a very low terminal velocity. And this helicopter rotational type of action gives you both of those things, sort of determinism in the flight trajectory and extended times of flight in the atmosphere.
So how do you disperse them? I'm picturing Ziploc bag at the top of the Sears Tower, sort of empty it over and away they go. Obviously
Yeah.
not, probably, but.
That might be kind of a crude way to do it. I mean, certainly be within the realm of options that you might contemplate. I think like a drone mechanism, you know, would make sense to us, maybe from an airplane or a helicopter, that type of thing, depending on the application. I think what we've done with this first paper is really study the foundational physics of how to design these kinds of systems. I mean, we sort of, you know, took inspiration from biology, but we're not into biomimicry necessarily. You know, we have other kinds of engineering goals that, you know, are only partially aligned with the evolutionary forces that led to the design of a maple seed, for example. So we spent a lot of time and effort understanding the detailed patterns of airflow that develop as these structures fall, you know, through the air. And we developed, you know, highly optimized designs based on experimental and theoretical studies. So that was one part of it. The other part was, you know, how do you form these kinds of three-dimensional structures in the first place? And how do you fabricate them in ways that are aligned with the kinds of manufacturing approaches that are used for, you know, integrated circuits in the consumer electronics gadgetry industry? We wanted that kind of alignment for scale, you know, production, you know, these devices that might occur in the future. So
and I did want to ask about that, engineering something so small. I mean, we're talking about a grain of sand. How do you manufacture, design, and fabricate something on that scale?
Yeah, I guess you want some kind of high throughput sort of manufacturable approach. You know, you'd want a minimal level of manual intervention needed, you know, to form them. And you'd like to be able to start from a planar sort of flat geometry, because that kind of layout really, as I mentioned before, aligns well with kind of multi-layered stacked geometries that support, you know, integrated circuit technologies. And so what we use is a scheme that's very much akin to that, you know, the mechanisms that guide, you know, the formation of 3D structures in a pop-up book. So everything starts in a flat geometry. We bond those flat structures to a pre-stretched elastomer rubber substrate. And when we relax that pre-stretch, it applies compressive forces to those planar structures. It causes them to pop up out of the plane and spontaneously form into these helicopter type geometries. And the beauty of that is not only does it operate in a parallel high speed fashion aligned with the semiconductor, you know, manufacturing industry, but it scales very nicely to exceptionally small sizes. So you can make flyers that they're actually far smaller than the ones that we focused on in our paper. The challenge is, you know, these structures will only fly to certain sizes. Below a certain, you know, characteristic dimension, everything falls like a sphere. And so you lose all the advantages of the helicopter, you know, rotational aerodynamics and so on. So we go as small as you can go. So I would say these are the smallest flyers, but probably the smallest flyer structures that you could ever build, because it's really limited by the aerodynamics of how, you know, solid materials interact with air, as opposed to any constraint associated with the way that we're fabricating these structures.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about a new invention out of Northwestern University, the microflyers, which are thought to be the smallest ever man-made flying structure, about the size of a grain of sand. We're speaking with the chief engineer from the project, John Rogers, who's professor of material science and engineering at Northwestern. I want to ask about practical uses. These are essentially flying microchips. So what sort of instruments and data might these be able to collect?
Well, so our focus is on, you know, environmental and atmospheric monitoring. So we demonstrated two very simple sensor platforms that use these kinds of flying structures for dispersal. One is a color-changing flyer that responds to local pH, so the acidity of groundwater. And so you can imagine dispersing thousands of these devices across a body of water to allow for spatial and temporal mapping of pH, maybe in the context of a chemical spill and a remediation effort, for example. Similar types of color-changing chemistries can be designed to respond to heavy metals, so lead, mercury, and cadmium. are species that we know how to detect in this way. So those are examples where we're monitoring species and chemistries associated with the surface of the ground or groundwater. The other classes of application focus on the atmosphere itself. And so we demonstrated an ability to optically measure particulate pollution in the air, the density and the characteristic sizes of those particulates. You can measure, you can envision also, I think in the future, it might be very powerful to think about airborne pathogen detection, in the context of, managing the spread of disease, airborne diseases, for example. And so that's something that we're looking to as a future opportunity.
And how do you get the data from these? Or are you just sort of visually standing there at the edge of the water watching for a color change? I imagine, or, I can't imagine they have like radios built in to transmit the information out.
Well, both actually. I think these color changing flyers are attractive because of their simplicity. It's just passive, structures of biodegradable polymers, essentially. And the color change can be captured through digital imaging techniques and color extraction algorithms. So you can imagine high-resolution cameras being deployed on drones to map, the distribution of the color change associated with a collection of these flyers that are resting on the ground. So I think that's very much a practical option that one can consider. I mean, it's kind of a wireless data transmission scheme, right, built into the camera itself. And we kind of like that approach as kind of low-hanging fruit in terms of, how you might, develop practical platforms that could be, deployed in the relatively near term. So we like that scheme. But as you mentioned, you can also envision incorporating active radio functionality into these devices. The sizes go up a little bit to accommodate the antenna structures that you need and the supporting radio integrated circuits, but you can do that. We demonstrated that as well in this peer-reviewed publication. The pollution monitoring device is measuring UV intensity, and it has a radio built into it. It's a little bit larger in scale than some of the smallest flyers that we're reporting. More in the range of several millimeters in size rather than one or a fraction of a millimeter. But that's certainly another option. And if you think about the future, trends in the semiconductor industry are all built around miniaturization. So if you look into the future, things are becoming smaller and smaller, more and more sophisticated in their function, lower in cost, lower in power supply requirements. And so I think those trends will be very powerful, very synergistic with this vision that we have for distributed sensors.
We're almost out of time, maybe just about a minute left in our conversation. What about litter? You mentioned, I heard the word biodegradable earlier. Is there, we've heard a lot about microplastics and harms to the environment. What are the risks with this technology?
Yeah, this issue was very prominent in our thinking. And I feel like if we didn't weren't confident that we had a solution to this issue, we probably wouldn't have started down this development pathway to begin with, because I think litter and pollution and electronic waste streams is a big consideration. And we wouldn't want to do anything that would just add to that, societal challenge. But over time, we've been developing over the last decade or so classes of biodegradable electronic components and devices designed for temporary implants. So we had a paper recently on a temporary cardiac pacemaker, a wireless device to control cardiac rhythms that is built entirely out of materials that slowly dissolve and disappear in biofluids, much like a resorbable suture, but with all of the necessary electronic functionality. We're very confident we can take those same classes of materials, device designs, deploy them in these kinds of flyer structures to allow environmental degradation into benign end products. So the litter, the pollution naturally goes away and it just absorbs into the environment. That's the vision. And we think we have all the pieces to make that happen.
Well, John Rogers is professor of material science and engineering at Northwestern University and chief engineer on the project to make these microflyers, thought to be the smallest ever man-made flying structure. John, thank you so much for being with us and sharing your research with us today on the 21st.
Yeah, thank you.
And that is all the time we have for our program today. Before we go, I do want to urge you to visit our website, 21stshow.org. There you can find links to us on Twitter, our Facebook page, all the other ways to contact us. You can also find a link to subscribe to our podcast. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere you get your podcasts. Just search for The 21st. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Erica Scalise is our engagement producer, and our interns are Owen Henderson, Zainab Qureshi, and Brielle Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.